Support for the Financial Samurai podcast and the following message comes from Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. With Wonder, you can help finance renewable energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. To get started, visit wondercapital.com/samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism. Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why I think a family of three or four needs to earn about $300,000 a year to live a comfortable middle class lifestyle in an expensive city like New York City, San Francisco, probably Seattle, and Washington, D.C. Now, I know some of you are probably already pissed off thinking, I'm crazy. $300,000 is a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. I'm not denying that. Especially since the median household income is around $59,000 a year. But we all know that inflation is a juggernaut. And a lot of the talks, a lot of the vernacular about being a millionaire, making six figures, is all off. Look, 3 million is the new 1 million because of inflation. Have you seen tuition prices? Have you seen the cost of food in the grocery store? The median car is now $34,000 new. I mean, I remember when the median car was $10,000, you could buy like a Honda Civic or a Toyota Corolla for like $12,000 to $14,000. And now I'm at the store and like, wow, $22,000, $24,000 for a Civic? That's crazy. I remember when a gallon of gasoline was a dollar. But the real killer is living costs and housing costs. Rents, I remember when you could get a one-bedroom apartment for $1,600 in San Francisco, and now that cost is $3,000. I remember when the median price here in San Francisco was $550,000, and now it's $1.5 million. $1.5 million? I mean, that is just so much more. Yet we're here stuck talking about being a millionaire is great. It's okay, but it's not going to give you a high lifestyle. If you have $1 million liquid and it generates 3%, it's $30,000 a year, folks. That's not living a high lifestyle. Neither is $40,000. Neither is $50,000, really. So if you found yourself living in an expensive coastal city, the reality is, I think $300,000 is the amount where you're going to be pretty happy. You're going to feel like you're saving for retirement, saving for your child's college education, and thinking that, hey, you don't have to work forever. Before we analyze a $300,000 household income, let's first discuss who makes $300,000 a year, because I know there's skeptics out there who think that's impossible. Well, $300,000 a year is around a top 10% income. Top 1% income is around $440,000 to $450,000. Okay, so there's a lot of people who make $300,000 or have a household income of $300,000. Let's start off with the Bay Area Rapid Transit janitors. We learned a couple years ago that one janitor makes $234,000 plus $36,000 in benefits. So he alone is about $300,000. The Bay Area Rapid Transit elevator technician. He makes about $236,000 and has $48,000 in benefits. So that's pretty close. Now let's look at all the 22, 23-year-old engineering graduates who join companies like Facebook, Google, and Apple. Their base salary range is essentially $80,000 to about $120,000, and they get RSUs, or restricted stock units, worth about $10,000 to $50,000 every single year. Now that's just at 22 and 23. Think about what they're going to be making after 5 years and 10 years. Given that the median age in America is around 35, 36 years old, and the median age for marriage in expensive coastal cities is in your 30s, it is very conceivable to think that these folks will make a lot more. All right, who else? 30-year-old first-year associate in banking earns about a $120,000 to $150,000 salary, and the bonus can range between 0 to 100% of their base. So right then and there, they're making somewhere around $200,000 to $300,000. A 26-year-old Airbnb employee shared to the world that he got a $250,000 total compensation package back in 2015, and given that it's 2018 and there's inflation, that package is probably around $275 now for 26-year-old engineers. All right, who else? Let's see, 26-year-old first-year law associate at a firm like Cravath makes $180,000 base plus a $20,000 sign-on bonus. So that's 26, give it 4 or 5 years, boom, $300,000. 29-year-old director of marketing, I've met many of these folks because I'm kind of in the marketing field when I was doing my consulting for fintech companies. They're all making between $120,000 to $160,000. So they hook up with someone else, boom, that's $300,000. A 42-year-old college professor at Berkeley makes around $235,000 on average. They make $279,000 on average at Columbia and NYU and probably Stanford as well since they're private schools. The average specialist doctor finishing his or her fellowship at the age of 32 makes $300,000, and that can easily rise to $500,000, $800,000, you know, for the anesthesiologists, the cardiologists, and so forth. However, the primary care physician is kind of screwed at only about $200,000, but hey, I love primary care physicians, and I love pediatricians as well. So there are many, many permutations of people who make $300,000 a year. You don't have to go to college, but most do, and you don't have to be single and trying to buy that home yourself because most of the time you're buying a single family home or a larger place because you found someone to be with and you have a family. And we're talking about $300,000 household income to raise a family comfortably or at least live a middle class lifestyle. Before our son was born, I was always thinking that about $200,000 to $250,000 was good enough for me by myself or my wife and I. And frankly, that's a great income. Basically, after taxes, that's something like $150,000 to $180,000, which is more than enough for two people. But with our son, we've noticed a lot more expenses, right? There's these reoccurring expenses such as diapers, food, babysitting, and childcare. And it comes out to about $2,000 to $3,000 a month, depending on how much help you have. Now, that might sound like a lot, but let's say it costs $20 an hour and you get 25 hours a week of help for one child, right then and there, that's $2,000 a month. 25 hours a week, folks. And if you are a couple, both of you guys work, let's say 40 hours a week, you're going to have to spend probably around $3,000 a month. And $20 an hour is not that egregious since the minimum wage here in San Francisco is going to be $14 an hour pretty soon. So I'm trying to give you guys some real life expense examples from my family and also real costs when I check the internet and call institutions and then ask other families who have this relatively middle class lifestyle. Our family is relatively frugal. We don't spend a lot of money on clothes, on vacations anymore because we're never going anywhere because we have a baby. We do spend a lot of money on food because places like San Francisco and New York, there's tons of great food and tons of food delivery apps. But other than that, clothes, jewelry, whatever, we don't spend that much money. So let me go through the list, and let's just talk about the numbers for a second. And if you go to my post, you can see the chart in quite amount of detail. So $300,000 household income, both spouses maximize their 401k contribution of $18,500 a year, so they have taxable income of $263,000. Now, since the new tax reform, this couple can no longer deduct more than $10,000 for state and local taxes and property taxes. So let's just keep it simple and use the $24,000 standard deduction. So their taxable income is $239,000. And based on a 24% marginal federal tax rate and a 9% California marginal state tax rate, their effective tax rate is about 27% combined. So they're paying $64,530 in taxes. Think about that, folks. That's more than the median household income in the United States. You got to give these people kind of slack because they're contributing a lot to the welfare of our country. So in the end, they have a net income of $174,470. And there's one good thing, and that is they get a $2,000 tax credit now because of new tax reform. In the past, they couldn't get it because they were making too much money. So the $300,000 turns into $176,470. In other words, they only have about 59% of their gross income to spend, which is not that great given the tax. So we talked about childcare, And there's really no way around it if both parents plan to work. That's $24,000 a year. And that's my estimate. It's a conservative estimate. And I've talked to many, many families who agree with this estimate. Now, you can have one of the spouses not work, and let's say one of the spouses makes $150,000, but then you're really, really kind of hurting because, hey, if you're barely making it on $300,000, well, you're not barely making it. You're living a nice middle-class lifestyle on $300,000. You're not going to live a nice middle-class lifestyle on $150,000. So eventually that child care cost will go away once the kid goes to preschool at 2 or 3 years old, and then once he or she goes to kindergarten at 5 to 6 years old. Now, of course, if you go to public school, that cost goes away and you're really good. But if you decide to go to private school, which you'll hear about the crazy costs in a future podcast, we're now talking another $15,000 to $48,000 a year through high school. The high school that I coach tennis at costs $44,000 a year plus several thousand dollars a year in add-ons. So that cost, that $24,000 a year in childcare costs, could actually be conservative if you decide to go the private school route, which sadly many folks who live in coastal cities do, because for some reason the public school system is kind of whacked out. I don't know what's going on. It's budget mismanagement. They're not paying their teachers enough. I'm not so sure. But here in San Francisco, it doesn't matter if you buy a house a block away from an elementary school, a public elementary school that's highly rated, you have no guarantee for your child going to that school because we have a lottery system that is supposed to promote social engineering for the great diversity of San Francisco. Now, San Francisco is quite diverse, but you have pockets in the city where there are much richer neighborhoods than others. And I understand the social engineering part, but if you're paying like $18,000 to $25,000 a year in property taxes and you can't even get to the school, the public school that you want your child to go to, in your neighborhood, that seems a little bit off. There should be some kind of priority if you're paying $20,000 a year in property taxes, but that's just me. And so a lot of people, a lot of families don't get lucky, and therefore they are forced, they feel, to pay for private school. All right, let's talk about food. I've got $25,200 a year in food. Now, that comes out to $2,100 a month. And you guys are probably thinking, whoa, whoa, $2,100 a month for food. Well, hey, you live in an expensive city. Food prices are more expensive because it's, you know, $13 minimum wage. And hopefully they earn more than minimum wage. The cost of food is more expensive. And here in San Francisco, we are the home of, let's see, Uber Eats, DoorDash, all these different types of food delivery companies that you've heard of across the country. They seem to have all originated here. So we have a plethora of options, and it's, you know, hey, if you got a cookie jar full of cookies right in front of you every single day, you're going to tend to eat more cookies. So we have this option and we have world-class food. So hey, we tend to spend more on food. But if we wanted to save money, yes, we could cut down and buy bulk and eat rice from Costco every single day. But you know what? You're making $300,000 a year. You want to eat healthier and you want to live longer as well. The other big cost is the mortgage. $3,900 a month for a $900,000 mortgage at a 3.25% interest rate is pretty standard because the median home price in New York or San Francisco is $1.5 million. So this family is actually kind of lucky to have a mortgage under $1 million. But unfortunately, you can only deduct mortgage interest on up to $750,000 for new home buyers now. But it doesn't really matter because the salt cap is $10,000. And you should be surprised at how little $1.5 million gets you. We're talking three-bedroom, two-bath house, 1,700 to 2,000 square feet, depending on location, and that's it. That's a very middle-class house, 2,500 square feet to 3,000 square foot lot as well. But the real killer is the property tax. Property tax on $1.5 million is like $18,000 a year, at least here in California, because it's taxed at 1.28%. Now, they talk about Prop 13 really keeping property taxes low and only rising a little bit with inflation. But the reality is the property price is so expensive, this wealth tax is very, very expensive as well. The only good thing about the mortgage is they are putting away, well, they're paying down $2,000 of principal out of the $3,900 a month payment. And hopefully the property price continues to increase by, I don't know, 3 to 8% a year, which would mean, hey, in 10, 20 years, you're going to have a really, really nice asset in your net worth. Elsewhere, other points of contention, vacation, $7,800, 3 weeks of vacation a year. Some people think it's a luxury. I don't think it's a luxury at all if both parents are working and you're making $300,000. I say 3 weeks is probably the minimum. I was taking 6 weeks of vacation a year for the last 3 years of my work life, and I loved it. 4 weeks, didn't feel too good. 5 weeks, pretty good. 6 weeks, not bad. And I thought, you know what? If I could take 8 to 10 weeks a year, I'd probably never stop working because that would be awesome. But I couldn't, so I left. But I would think 3 weeks is pretty normal. Look at the EU. The EU has at least 4 weeks of paid vacations. That's mandatory by law. Meanwhile, Brazil gets 41 paid vacation days a year. So I don't know where this is coming from, where Americans think 3 weeks of vacation is egregious, but it's not. We are, I think, workaholics relative to the rest of the world. All right, car payment. We've got $7,400 for a Volvo XC90 SUV. Now, I totally get this. I totally get this because my wife and I, we were driving a Honda Fit. Awesome, awesome car. It was like 154 inches long, so we could park the car anywhere in San Francisco. Well, at least 25% more spots, basically between two driveways and such. And it was wonderful. The car got great gas mileage. It was amazing. But once we had our baby, we're like, we're not going to keep our baby in this tin can because the doors are so thin. There's no bumper, really, bumper space in the back. And we just didn't feel comfortable. So we decided, hey, let's get an SUV. We had one. We had a Land Rover Discovery 2 for almost 10 years. We loved it. And you know what? We're wealthier now and we fit the 1/10th rule for car borrowing. Let's go get a Range Rover SUV Sport, which is fun to drive and it's much bigger and safer. So that's what we did. But we paid cash. We paid $58,000 cash plus tax. This family, they're not paying cash. Guess because they don't have as much cash. So they're paying a $700 a month payment, which is pretty standard for a $60,000 to $75,000 vehicle. For those of you who don't have kids, I know you're probably thinking that's a waste of money if you want to be saving money. But once you have a kid, you will realize there's nothing more important than the safety of your child. You want to get the best food. You want to get the safest car. You want to get the safest stroller, whatever it is. Because, hey, the option is injury or death or spend more money. And you're like, okay, I'm going to spend more money within reason, of course. Another point of contention might be the baby and toddler things. I've got $500 a month. Now, some of you guys might be like, hey, that's so much. Why don't you just use cloth diapers so you can, you know, just wash them over and over again? And why don't you just reuse all these baby toys from the thrift store? That's totally fine. Totally fine. But I'm going to say, look, I think disposable diapers might be a little bit more convenient, less disgusting, and just less convenient, more convenient. And you know, you want to try out all these different toys. You want to get a lot of good baby food, and you just don't have time. You both are working 40 to 50 hours a week. You're going to be going on Amazon Prime with your account and just ordering all the coolest things and the food and getting that delivered to you. All right, and finally, there's entertainment for $6,000 a year. $500 a month, not too expensive in my opinion. Let's say you want to go out to a show, it's about $100 a ticket, and then you got to pay for food and transportation. If you want to go to the Golden State Warriors game, tickets are $80 to $300 for decent seats. I mean, floor seats are like thousands and thousands of dollars, so forget that. So $500 a month, pretty reasonable, especially since you both are working so hard. You need to go out on dates and enjoy life a little bit. Hey, you can stay at home as well and watch Netflix, but hey, Netflix also costs $10, $12, $15 a month. I forget what the latest price is. Then there's internet expense, cable, and so forth. So that all goes into the entertainment budget. If you're still with me, thanks so much. Before we continue to the final segment of this podcast, let's hear a short word from our sponsor. Support for Financial Samurai is brought to you by Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. Experts at Bloomberg estimate that $2.8 trillion will be invested in solar energy by 2040, and that's a great thing because electricity costs have gradually risen over time. With Wonder Capital's solar investment platform, individuals can now take advantage of this economic opportunity. Visit wondercapital.com/samurai to find out how you can begin investing in solar energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. while also helping in the fight against climate change. Again, that's wondercapital.com/samurai, SAMURAI. Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism. Alrighty, welcome back. Let's go through the final cash flow review of this $300,000 a year household. The end result is annual cash flow of only $4,090, which could get spent in a hurry as things always pop up. I know for my budget, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000 kind of disappears and it's not allocated in what I think should be spent because something random always comes up, whether it's something breaking at home, you know, an appliance just goes kaput, like my oven 1 year. I don't know, something always comes up and it's something you should budget for. But overall, this middle-class family is building roughly $53,000 in net worth each year through paying down their principal and also maxing out their 401k savings plus any appreciation in their investments and primary residence. So that's a great thing. After 20 plus years, let's say 22 years of working with no change in income or expenses, this household will likely amass a net worth of over $2 million from where they are right now, and the ability for at least one spouse, if not both spouses, to retire since their son will have graduated from college by then. But one thing to note is that 22 years might seem like a long, long time if you're grinding away 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours a week. And I don't know about you, but after 10 years of working and doing the same thing, I was starting to burn out. So I finally left after 13 years, which now in retrospect doesn't seem like that long of a period, but I was really glad I was done. So if they want to achieve financial freedom sooner rather than later with their $175,000 a year in annual expenses, they're really going to have to accumulate closer to 20 times that amount or $3.5 million to really feel comfortable for both to retire early. And the only way really for them to do that is to either up their roughly 17% growth savings rate to, let's say, 20%, 25%, and maybe 50% by figuring out a way to reduce expenses or boost income. But since boosting income probably ruins their quality of life because of more stress and more work and time away from their kids, the best way is probably to reduce expenses. So after 10 years of aggressive saving and earning in an expensive coastal city, I think it's a good idea to move to a lower cost area of the country and retire or just find a new job to really cut down on expenses. If you pay close attention, you will see the trend of folks moving out of the coast and into the heartland. In San Francisco, moving trucks are at a shortage because so many people are moving out of this expensive city. So the trend really is going to the heartland thanks to technology. You don't really have to sit in a congested city paying $4,600 a month for a one bedroom while going to the office anymore thanks to technology. And I'm living proof that I'm earning some income online thanks to the internet. So the trend is really there and I think it'll continue over the next 10, 20, 30 years. So based on everything I've talked about so far, the ideal income is probably a little bit more than $300,000. Let's look at the income tax rates. So the 24% marginal federal income tax rate goes up to $315,000 for a married couple filing jointly. So you don't want to go above that because the next tax rate is 32%. That's a whopping 8% increase. I mean, I don't understand why it went from 22% to 24% to 32%, but on the margin, that's a bad thing for expenses, right? So you want to keep your adjustable gross income to $315,000 or below. So in other words, you can make up to around $376,000 as a household by then taking the $24,000 standard deduction and then contributing $37,000 to your respective 401ks. That'll bring your household taxable income down to $315,000 and that will keep your highest marginal tax rate at 24%. And if you are able to make $376,000, then you will generate an additional $43,000 in cash flow each year, something like that. And that's really going to go a long way to achieving financial freedom sooner rather than later. So surprise, surprise, I guess we're never really satisfied with how much we make. You can always make a little bit more. But I'm promise you guys that I've really tracked my happiness level from making very little, you know, minimum wage, $4 an hour, to making much more than $350,000 a year for several years. And my happiness didn't really improve much as a single person at $200,000 and now as a married guy with a son. not much more at $300,000. You really want to figure out how to balance your lifestyle because at the end of the day, money is a means to an end, which is a happier life. So thanks so much, everyone. Share with me what you think is the ideal income for maximum happiness for a family of up to four in an expensive coastal city. And if you live in the heartland or a non-coastal city, let me know what's ideal for you. Speak to you guys soon.